Now, Father, I ask that you touch my body this morning. I might minister the word of God. And then bless these lips of clay. Bless us at this hour. As we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us move forth in our continuum in discourse in these various eternal, wonderful, matchless truths that God has conveyed to us in the mystery message. Take out your document. And those who are watching by way of the webcast, we welcome you and also inform you that in our audio and video section and links are there, wherein an icon that you will click in this document, Scripture Comprehensions and Measures, will come up and be available to you. Again, everybody repeat after me. Scripture Comprehensions and Measures. The Matrix. Let's go to page 29. We are in that section where we are dealing with conceded scenarios in physicality, secularity, measures. We had moved out of that paragraph up to the top of page 29, where it says prevailingly, amen. In addition, and even more important, take your Bibles and let's turn to actually, there are three places we're going to look this morning if time allows. Of course, that clock always beat me up. Ella Lieberman is our definite reader, and let's go back just for a moment to Romans chapter 8 verse 6, and then back again where we were last time I was before you in the second chapter of Second Corinthians, chapter 3. Remember, we got hung up around that 19th verse, and I couldn't get out of there. I just had to bail out. Then, hopefully, time will allow us to go where we were in our midweek Wednesday evening Bible study. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12. Amen. I love that analysis that Ella Lieberman gave in ministering last week about the circle and all the objects in the circle, none of which has its own agenda. Amen. Because I'm sure any object in that circle had its own agenda. Part of that agenda would be to get outside of the circle. Because we don't like to be confined and in subjection. But as creatures, we are completely controlled by the Creator. And many don't ascribe to that because, you know, we want to be self-centered and self-reliant. Amen. What they call it, independent. Amen. Elder, that first scripture there, I just want to just read verse 6. Remember, we were in that 8th chapter of Romans. One thing that we have to have as a prerequisite ingression. That is something that is inputted and understood in order to deal with the situation at hand. That is that the essence of who we are is defined in the locale of us, that is God's elect, having been chosen by Him and placed in His body before the foundation of the world, that is in eternity.
Amen.
That's who you are.
Yes, sir.
That's who you've always been.
Yes.
Regardless of what kind of week you had.
Yes.
What happened, what didn't happen.
Right.
The happenings are that you are in Christ. That's the you that is unperturbed and undisturbed by the things of this life. That's the you.
Amen.
So that in verse 9, when Paul says you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit, you don't get refused. He's talking about the you. Amen. Not the temporary you abiding in flesh and blood. And here, in the previous verse, just to be in context, but yet not to reprise any of the things that we've said, amen, I think, for a couple of times. And we will continue to voice these truths. That is, there is the actualization aspect of spirituality. We should not be confused with the with the temporary aspect of physicality. Who you are is who you are forever. Not who you manifestly in testimony are just playing in the earthly venue. And so we must stop to define spirituality in order to adequately give definition to safety and security.
Amen.
And salvation.
Yes, sir.
Your salvation is secured in spirituality. Spirituality is the actuality aspect that abides in eternality, which is spirituality. You say, Pastor, you've thrown all these alities at us. No, what are you saying? Now, the real abiding of what life is and the essence is not in the physical. The physical is passing.
That's right. Amen.
The world is passing away, and everything in it is being used up. And if you're talking about stickability, I'm quoting these phrases now. Don't look for the dictionary. And stability.
Yeah.
You're talking about what abides beyond the physical, visual material. You're speaking of that which abides solely in God's word, in His decree.
Hallelujah.
That's where things actually abide.
Thank God.
You know, we have the aphorism around here. Amen. And repeat after me. It's in the same.
It's in the same.
Not the seeing.
Not the seeing.
Seeing is passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And so the difference is in spirituality, there is reliable and genuinely and authentically the future. Beyond that, physicality is just rusting away, wearing away. It wasn't designed to stick around. As said in the King James, many times they use this expression, and it came to pass. The reason it came was to pass.
That's
us understand this in our lives and things that are happening. In other words, life is going to run you crazy. Now, here's what the scripture said. Elder, read that. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Everybody got it, amen?
Amen.
Read it from the King James and then from the Greek text. I'm touching on it, and then I want to quickly move back to where we got, amen, stuck, and I had to bail out last week, a week before last. All right, read.
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 6th verse. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
All right, now let's go to the Greek.
Romans chapter 8, the 6th verse in the interlinear Greek. For the mind...
Stop. You see that Greek word there? Again, and you're going to see that popping up all over the place. You have the Greek word there, phronema, which means really mindset, thought, disposition. How you assess and view things. And he projects the mindset in two spheres. The first one is physical. What does he say about the physical? And what does he say about the spiritual? First, about the physical, read. For the mind said what?
For the mind of the flesh, death.
Death. Dead end. Termination. Annihilation. That which has a certain place of not continuing. Think about this for a minute. And this is where the world's mindset is. And of course, they're trying to, you know, they spotted another asteroid, by the way. I want you guys to know. Now, are we going to worry about that? No. We got to get a head start on this one. 17,000 miles was too close. That was too close. See, can we nudge this one in a way where it doesn't come that close? What does it say here? What's situated in that mindset has termination. So that means we're going to be destroyed. No, no, no. Wait. We're not through. Mm-hmm. We're talking about what's in that mindset.
Yeah.
And then even what's in that mindset has no controls of his own.
Mm-hmm.
The time, the place, the situation, the agenda, all design. But then we look beyond that in our mindset. And what do we see? Read.
For the mind of the flesh, death, but the mind
but,
of the...
But, you see that? Really, that's the Greek word se. It's not strong adversative. But he places those together in relationship. And you can say and if you want to. Which links together that in the midst of the chaos, there's security. Except the security is that the mindset is in the spiritual, even while the body is in the physical. That you don't have to escape out of the sphere to have security in the fact that the spiritual overrules the physical. Finish it up.
But the mind of the Spirit, life and peace.
The mindset of the spiritual life. What is life? Life is existence.
Amen.
What we call life now is that is a relative term. That is interred in relativism. And basically there's a couple of documents we're going to go back that we have dealt with before and say, well, this is relative to that and that is relative to that. A long time is relative to what? Time sequences. Yet forever can only be relative to that which has no ending, which none of physicality can be classified in non-ending. So in life, you're talking about life, you're automatically out of the sphere of physicality if you're talking about existence. Because if something is here today and gone tomorrow, did it really ever exist? And this is why in the second half of this year, we come back in the fall, we're going to go back and deal with the second five parts. Remember part 1-5 of Scripture Distinctions of Actualization and Eternity for Manifestation in Time. We went through five parts, and we're going to go back to part 6-10 and deal with certain aspects of things that bring us into an awareness of where we are and who we are.
Amen.
And what we're doing, amen, which must be defined by what God is doing.
That's right.
Or what God has done. In His Word.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory.
And while all of this chaos is going on, we're safe. Because what this is telling us here, as the conjunction here is and, really, amen, that while we are going through the physical, we're safe because our mindset, amen, is prioritized in the spiritual. That sounds like double talking. That's why they don't fool with Paul's epistles. Now, you go in here, you got to explain what he's saying. That on the one hand, physicality, that which is in the flesh, is temporary, and it's already destroyed. And in the flesh, but Paul in another place writes, he said, this flesh is what? Maybe having been destroyed. This body, maybe haven't been destroyed. The flesh, maybe haven't been destroyed. Physicality, maybe haven't been terminated. Look at this. Read the last part of it again.
But the mind of the Spirit, life and peace.
Peace. Everybody say peace. What is peace? That's tranquility, and that's like being, not being, not even bothered or annoyed. That mindset is in spirituality. That even if an asteroid hit the earth and annihilated it, it may have destroyed my flesh, but it hasn't destroyed me. You know, when Jesus said to those, he said, you kill this body, I'm just forever praising it. He said, I'll raise it up in 3 days. In other words, in 3 days I'll manifest it. And it didn't take that long. To let you know that you haven't really done anything. So that when we sing the song, "What a Fellowship, What a Joy to Abide, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," and we speak about being safe and secure from all alarm, amen. It's not that I'm walking around here and nothing's going to happen to me. You know, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. This is what he's saying. Get out of physicality, mindset-wise, and focus on the fact that you are everlastingly secure because you are where you always were. And that is in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. Oh, give him a praise this morning. Hey! Hallelujah!
Thank God.
Hallelujah! Thank God. Preacher, you're crazy. No. If you're stuck in physicality, now you're messed up. There's a terminology that all of us are familiar with that comes from the ancient Greek. It is the Greek term atasia, which transliterated in it goes to the Latin and then to the English. Get the word autopsy from. And you know what that is. That's when someone passes and then the coroner goes and he tries to look in the aspect of. But that's derived from two words. And the first one is aftos, which means self. You know, oneself, yourself, myself, themselves. You know. Me. And the second part is the Greek word osis. Some use it for the word I, but actually it means appearance, manifestation. The facade of the emergence. In other words, whatever is laid on the table, that's just the body, because the life is gone. Right? And then the coroner goes through and his job to find out what ended the life. Isn't that cute? But many times, you know what they have to say? Inconclusive. Because he's confined to coming up with an explanation for what's before him. That's the same thing that it is in physicality and life in the Matrix. Here I am. In the middle of this thing, looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. And the purpose and the control is not within, it is from without. So the only thing that comes out of that is inconclusiveness. But that's what we do. Another Greek word that comes, a term that comes out of that appearance. Paul speaks that we see through a glass darkly. That is now, but then what? Face to face. Face to face. Appearance. A prima facie, as used in legal terms, an initial examination or consideration, we which establishes a fact, a cause, prima facie. And hypothesis that is supposedly clear from the impression that's there. Let me tell you this. You will never be able to define physicality with physicality. That's what happens to the scientists. You know, they break down the molecules into the atoms, and then they say, well, keep on going. So we break down the atoms into the electron, proton, neutrons. Now let's break it all down. We break down the protons and neutrons in the quarks, and then, but what are those? The scientist said, well, I don't know. Why and how things happen and how they are formed. And remember, they were breaking out the bottles of champagne and congratulating themselves because we found and actually able to isolate the Higgs boson for those the God particle. And then that's why on in the Bible study Wednesday evening, you know, they even got a diagram of how. You remember when I put that display up there, and in the what happens, and they got the detectors, and they're showing, you know, what causes the path to go, and then when you ask me, you say, well, then what causes that? I don't know. Because, of course, if I'm a scientist, I'm not, no way am I going to say God. All things are designed. All things are purposed. Amen. And the security is never in the middle of what you see. It is not from within. It is from without. Now, you can't explain physicality with spirituality. And even some arrogantly try to explain spirituality with physicality. I had something to say to me. He said, no, when you're preaching, you know, you got to give more parables. And you know, Jesus preached in parables. Did Paul? Didn't need them. The mystery is about what? Revelation. We've been in Sunday school for several months now, and Brother Deacon, take your time. This is the document for those that may be watching and those that are here too. Get a copy of this. This is on our website under the Doctrine of Discourse section there. Amen. What is the what? Revelation of the mystery. It's a message. And it's about revelation. It's about answers. None of them are through autopsy. The answers are from without. Wherein we have the vertical view of looking down on life instead of around in life. The answer's in God's word. That's a song that they sing. Saints used to sing, of course, it's a song that is today. Anyway, look and live. Look and live. Where are you looking? It's recorded. Where? In God's word. Look. And you see what life is. It's in the word. Now when you get into the word of God, to actually go and get the essence of the most revealed portion of the Bible, as far as knowledge and comprehension, you're in the mystery message. What is the mystery message? That's the grace message. That's the grace contract. That's the grace covenant. That's the volume of truth that God revealed to Paul for the grace church in the grace dispensation. And it gives comprehension and understanding. And the worst thing you can do, there's another Greek verb there, that we use that's used a lot, actually out of place. It is a citeo. zitel, which means to seek, a search. Now, when you put that with autos, that's dangerous. You're talking about self-seeking. We assess things based upon using ourselves as the focal point. The plumb line is here. And everything is how it looks from here. No, it's nothing, nothing is authenticated from the vantage point of self. Because all you're going to get, you have the Greek word dokeo, which means seen. How a thing is seen is how it seems. From this focal point. That's the worst angle you could ever look at something. It's from self. We were saying in the men's fellowship, 5 people could look at the same thing and come up with 5 different assessments or interpretations of how and what and when and even where. So self is not the place to look for it. No. Oh my God, that clock is just beating me. One of these days, y'all let me preach about 4 or 5 hours. I'm the rest of it. Just joking. Amen. Let's go to the top of page 29. Where it says prevalently. Everybody got that amen? Prevalently. These instituted, mechanized journals of modernistic thoughts. We just got to talking about that now. That's the self-centered, amen, self-focused, self-reliant, amen, stratum of where we've misperceive things to occur. What do? They sponsor the artificial intelligence. Everybody say artificial intelligence. Let's go back to the front of the book for a minute. Hold a page now. In the glossary of definitions. Artificial intelligence. Mechanized imitation of knowledge. Not knowledge. Because of where it's focused. Counterfeit knowledge. All right. Non-authentic. Not reliable. But so many depend upon. We depend upon the things we see.
Yes, we do.
Yes, and the Bible is telling us, uh-oh, the scriptures don't even look at that.
No.
Don't set your affection on it.
Yes,
don't mind it, as we've used that word. Don't mind it. Don't even let that be your mindset.
That's right.
That's what we admonish. The most unreliable thing is what I see.
Amen.
Because depending upon what angle, remember many doctoral conferences ago, we had that where the the angle of the light hits something, and that's the vantage point for which you see it. And everything there is distorted. You ever watch the replay of the football game? During the football game. And they have the replay. So when I just look from this angle, that angle. So, oh, see, from that angle, it looks like it. From that angle, it looks. What does that tell us about your your thought process and the unreliability of artificial intelligence? And what does it say? Yet they are solely off conceptions of the human mind. What are we saying? Back to our terminology there. Autopsia. Self-seeking, self-searching. Self-appearance. Which all results in what things seem to be. Versus what they are.
Amen.
Because everything in the matrix is what? Manifestation. It is reflection of light. You go to the mirror, none of us have ever seen our face. Do you know you've never seen your face? Not your own face. Look at me funny. So I go to the mirror, that's the reflection of your face. You've never seen your face. You've seen your hand. You've never seen your back. I don't know. It's been a few years now because I look back there and I see my grandson. They're all big. A little fella walked in and I was in the bathroom shaving. And he said, there are two granddaddies. Because he looked up and he saw my face and he saw the reflection of my face in the mirror. But there's only one of me. Because that fella in the mirror is really not you. Do you know that? I mean, you don't go to the mirror and let's say something is crooked or something is wrong and you reach into the mirror to adjust it. No. This is what basically it is saying. And the object is to get the emphasis off of the human mind. Old Testament. Your word is a what? Lamp unto my feet. What? And what? Light unto my pathway. So why, if I'm so intelligent, why is it I need the word of God? Because it gives comprehensions of what things are.
What they actually are. Amen.
It gives actuality.
Glory to God. Yes.
And comprehension of what things are. Versus what the human mind construes them to be or what they seem to be. Old Testament, acknowledge him in what?
All thy ways.
In all your ways and everything that you're doing. And he does what?
Direct.
So if you can, if you know how to pilot the ship, what do you need him for? I just need God to kind of help me a little bit. No. The fact is, I don't know anything, and God knows what everything.
Everything.
And this is what basically we kind of convey here. Now, what is it about the human mind? We're going to walk through this slowly. Even if I don't get through this paragraph today, we're going to take our time. You have the off-conceptions of the human mind in its interdisciplinarily adopted conversion. Self-seeking, self-appearance, how things seem to be, the impressions, and just like the medical examiner on the table, many times he comes up with what? Inconclusiveness. Cause of termination? Inconclusive. I don't know. In scientism, when you break down to subatomic particles and he goes as far as he can go and get to the quarks, he says what? I don't know. In life, to really get to the bottom and origination of things, to be completely honest, I don't know. Because only he who is the originator of the action understands the action. One thing we can understand in scientism are the processes. Scientism can never give you the purpose. Even if it tells you confidentially how, it can never tell you why. That thing happens to you this week. Man laying in his bed. If you would think anywhere a person is safe and secure, you lay down in the bed. Most of us lay in our beds. We relax, don't we? That's supposedly a place of what? Safe and security. You know, in the sense of that we view things. Next moment, a hole opens up in his bedroom. And he's some 40, 50 feet down somewhere, lost, they don't know. Sinkhole. Why? I'm still looking for someone to say that maybe he did something and God retaliated. You know how we think. The plane flew into the building because America is put prayer out of the schools. And, you know, the abortion laws and the gay marriage rights laws and so forth. And God just fed up. And he's retaliating, you know, or something like that, you know. Why? His brother was in the next room. In the very next bedroom. And I guarantee if you look at both of their lives, you won't see any advantage of one over the other. What's going on? Purpose of God. In fact, sometimes it happens. The adverse thing happens to the good guy, and the bad guy seems to go unmolested. Suppose the bad guy, but who's good and who's bad? All are bad. Because I'm self-seeking, and I'm viewing this thing from my own perception. And I'm assessing things based upon what I see. What did God mean when he said, my ways are not your ways and your ways are not, and my thoughts are not your thoughts? So what is God saying to us? Whatever you see in one direction is what it is in the other direction, because I see it in the other direction, and what I see is what I've said. kind of view life. Like that. Otherwise, life would run us crazy. Look at all the stuff we went through this week. Within the same hour, the president is telling us that the quest is in place and all of these cuts are going on. The governor comes on radio and said the city of Detroit is broke and we're getting ready to take it over and shut a lot of things down. And that's right on the heel of the man falling into the sinkhole. You know, you could talk yourself into being a basket case. That's if you really, that's what you want to do. Just depending upon the things that you see. Look at this. Participations of such induce, are you with me? Induce gallant aspires and professions of principally synthetic explorative intelligence. What is synthetic? It's not real. It's a substitute. It's a substitute. When you're synthetic or synthetic, it's a substitute. Follow this. Annotated predispositions, and this is where they get us. Anything that is annotated, it is, as we know from those of us that in school, this is when you set out a certain set of supposedly hypotheses and facts. It's outlined, and it just looks like, hey, there's got to be it because it's so organized. Mm-hmm. And every bit of it could be wrong. These are annotated predispositions of physic formulations synchronized. What did they synchronize? Psychological and philosophical deliberations in their impartations of repositories. So what we're saying is, and follow me here, we depend upon scientism to guide us. Mm-hmm. Philosophies. Psychology. What they say it is. How they say it works. Now, I'm not saying to young people in school, you go there and say, I told my grandson, you out there in that school, and whatever they say, that's what this on the exam, you down there. I said, but you're not governed by that. And I said to the young people going to college, and see, we have some college students in the day, he said, you go there and yeah, that man's knowledge, what he lays out there, but you're not governed by that. You learn whatever they have laid out as the processes, but don't you ever be fooled that that's the purpose of how things and why things
right.
are.
Right.
They are what God has pre-assigned and determined in His Word. That's what it is. Oh, you better hear me this morning. Because
yes.
Sometimes when you're following the formulations of the processes, that thing takes you down the road and only to find out later. That's not what it is. You know, again, the story of Job, he sold by his brothers and then into slavery and then into prison. And you know the whole story there. And at the end, he ends up the second most powerful man in Egypt. And through him, God fed not only Egypt, but also Israel. And when his brothers came before them and all of this evil is happening to them, sometimes when things happen, he said, oh, why did God allow me to be sold into slavery?
Glory.
Why did God allow me to be put in prison? Why did God allow me to be lied on? Why did God allow me to be forsaken? And the Lord had revealed that thing to Joseph. And he told his brothers, he says, now, your intentions were evil, but God's intentions was what?
Good.
Good.
That's right. Yes.
Can good come out of evil?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Can joy come out of sorrow?
Yes.
Oh, you better hear me this morning.
Thank God.
Because a lot of times while we're crying, we should be praising the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the midst of prison, Paul writes to the Philippians, he said, rejoice. And again, I said, rejoice. Why, Paul? What's that to rejoice about? Being incarcerated.
That's right.
He said, first of all, go back to the beginning of my letter. I'm not a prisoner of the Roman government. I'm not even in prison to the cell of the shackles that they may have on me. Why are you in prison to Paul? So I'm a prisoner of Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a glorious thing.
Hallelujah.
It's the best thing that could happen to you.
Yes.
You're a prisoner
Glory
of Christ.
Glory.
You know the scripture that says that while we're in the world, we're what?
Not of
the world. We don't belong to the world.
Nope.
Where are you right now?
In Christ.
In Christ. So, well, I'm sitting here at the Grace Gospel Church, and you know it's about 10 minutes to 1, and I wish that preacher would help me get through. No, you're in Christ.
In Christ. Right. Thank God. Right.
You've been in Christ from the beginning.
Yes.
You've never left Christ.
Never.
Oh my God.
Yes.
The brother said to me, he said, you know, this just seems to be too good to be true.
Yes.
Believe it, brother, it's true.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And that's where we should abide.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we can have peace in the middle of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Joy in the middle of sorrow. We can feel safe in the middle of chaos.
Yes, sir. Thank God.
Because we are not bound by any of that.
Mm-hmm.
We are only bound by Christ.
Christ. Hallelujah.
Which means we are bound by joy and peace and happiness and tranquility.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Let's follow. I guess we won't get to, we'll get to that scripture next week. And oh my God, hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord.
What about 2 hours? Okay, I get the message. Various representative reviews of associations and simulated directives that permanently fail in significant proportions to human personalities involved, thus stimulating the debate of identifiable regulations. So what are we saying there? Now we talk about representations. Let's go back to the matrix. What is the matrix? It is a field of representations. So as we review what we see, and only what we see, and we see their simulated directors, they all permanently fail in significant proportion
Glory.
To the personalities surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
How many things do humans really control? Man, you get a big fight out of it. How many things do you actually control in your life? I mean control. I mean, you got a complete handle on that thing, and it's only going to do what you want it to do, and it's not going to do anything that you don't want it to do. Nothing. Why? Because that's not the reason it's there. It's not there for your purpose or my purpose. It is His purpose. That thing is in that frame in the matrix. You walk through life and there's chaos. Who put the chaos there? Oh, God wouldn't do that. The devil. Okay, so now God's on the sideline and the devil is, you know, and that goes back to the Garden of Eden, you know, that with the limited knowledge and comprehension there's God is out somewhere and maybe taking a walk and he's away from the place. The devil shows up and mess things up. And then God comes back and say, Adam, where are you? You've just impugned God's omniscience. What have you done? You've just impugned God's omnipotence. And to say he was in the wrong when the devil shows up, you've just impugned his what?
Omnipresence.
When you say God is ubiquitous, that means he fills all space and is everywhere. Does not mean that God just explodes and fills every gap. No. He's not in the world. The world is in him. Colossians 1:16. All things were created where? In him. As big as the universe is, it doesn't fill him up. Oh my God. When is the day we're going to come to realize who God is? And know that there's a difference between who he is and what we are. All right, I guess I'm going to have to bail out again today. Oh, my God. So, the things that come from them and we debate on, these identifiable regulations, basically, not in the processes of what we see, but in the purpose of what God has said.
Right.
Life is about God. Things that occur is not about, they're not about us, they're about him. Not what we're doing with it. What God, you know, nobody ever stops to think about what God is doing this. You know, the thing happens and we say, well, what is this? And the real question is what? What is this for? God has a purpose. I'm in a class and I study hard and I like that analogy here last week. I failed a test. I'm devastated. Did God abandon you? So well, maybe if I had studied. Well, no, you should study, and of course, that's part of the essence of the process. Is studying. But if you pass the test in spite of the studying, it is the God that has caused you to pass the test, because there are other times you're going to study and you're going to flunk it. Now, this is not to say don't study now. But this is to understand.
Right.
It is the enablement of God.
Right.
Not your effort. The Nebuchadnezzar syndrome is he stood on top at the high place and he said, look what I have done. And just a few days later, he was eating grass in the field like a beast. God took him down.
That's right.
And then caused him to come to his senses.
Yes, he did.
I look at the arrogance of men sometimes and it's appalling. It's appalling. But then, it is that same arrogance that gives us so much insecurity and fear. Because when you're sober, you know that you don't control nothing. And that thing could go anywhere.
That's right.
You're trusting in yourself. You're not trusting in anything. Let me finish this. I'll be back next week. These patron facts contrive to assemble, disseminate, and facilitate their immenseness. Yet, sources of scientific gains are confined in physicality, secularity, measures. The sources of scientific gains, they're confined to what's there. And it may seem that that's what's working and that's what's happening. And that's what it's confined to, what it seems to be. But Lord, help us to look beyond that. Hybrid supported dualism positions and pairs in their leading exponents, but such don't suffice them against opposing scriptural interrelations of soul deified determination. Now, what are we saying? We'll probably start there next week because the time is basically gone here. What's a hybrid? A car that runs on both what? So it's any mechanism that the processes operate dualism. Follow this down. Give me 3 minutes, I'm down. And so if positions impaired in their leading exponents, what's an exponent? That basically 2 to the 2 is what? 2 times 2. A 2 to the 3rd power is what? 2 times 2 times 2. So that thing expands how we think, that it adds or multiplies many times. That this thing is expanding or is moving. But here, what he was saying is, that's not sufficient, because that's not the way life works. What's against it? The truth. What is the truth? Everybody says scriptural interrelations of soul deified determinations.
Amen.
That's the catalyst. That's what controls. What God prearranged and predetermined. And see, when you understand these things, let me just cut off because I've reached that plateau when everybody is, I might as well be through. But you see, when you see the thing like it is, you understand, it brings security.
Yes, sir.
And peace and joy.
Yes, sir.
And you don't turn on the news and because of what you saw there, it has ruined your day.
No.
Or you get a telephone call from somewhere and what you hear ruins your day. Or something that you see or you think you see, it completely upsets your countenance. The worst thing that could have happened to Job happened, as far as physically seeing it. He lost all of his possessions.
Yes, he did.
I'll go back in the Old Testament because y'all like those Old Testament stories. You know? Okay, that's fine. And the witness came to him and said, all of this went down and everything was lost but me. And the only reason I wasn't lost is because I'm consigned to come tell you about it.
That's right.
Why the man in the bedroom, sinkhole gone, the brother in the next bedroom, unmolested. I was driving it. Of all the cars out there, that fool comes through the intersection and hits me. Huh? What I mean? Your suffering, that situation, is a sign to you but not randomly. Whatever happens to you is not random. It is God's purpose. And then when we have confidence in the purpose of God, we can have peace. The peace of God that what? Passeth all understanding, because everything is focused in Him and not in me. And then when we focus on Him, we find out that it is in Him where our joy is.
Yes, sir.
Where our sustenance is.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where our peace is.
Mm-hmm.
Where our future is.
Mm-hmm.
Where everything is.
Everything.
In Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we understand that. Sing the song, "What a Fellowship." What a relationship. Because of the benefits. What a joy divine. Leaning. Can you say leaning? Can you say leaning? On everlasting on. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning. Can you say leaning? Can you say leaning? On everlasting on. Safe. Can you say safe? Can you say safe? From all of them. Because I realize that none of it is about me. It's all about Him. God bless you.